Hello and welcome to Forex Overland, the Adventure Travel Inspiration Podcast. My name is Andrew St. Pierre White. This podcast is brought to you in association with BF Goodrich Tires. This presentation is from one of my favorite YouTube storytime videos. It concerns a breakdown in the bush, and the story can best be described as a huge waste of time to fix a vehicle which turned out to be completely unnecessary. That would be a long title. The short title is Catastrophic Breakdowns in the Bush. Enjoy it.
I'm here on the Canning Stock Route. Sun is just kissing the horizon. And the Canning is a very long, challenging route, challenging on every element of if you were with a big group, you'd be challenged by the people you were with. If you were, you're challenged by the vehicle, keeping it running. It's very hard on vehicles, particularly if the vehicle's heavy. I was driving along today, and I was thinking to myself about you have lots of time to think on the Canning. We get about 8 hours or so driving, between seven and eight hours driving a day. And thinking about the vehicles that I've owned and the breakdowns I've had. Now, I don't think I'm tempting fate here because it's a brand new Land Cruiser I'm driving and we're light. There's no reason for problems. This is not like the vehicles that I've owned. And many of them have been quite old. And, of course, the older the vehicle that you have, the better chance of something going wrong, breaking down. Or if you have certain brands of vehicle. So I've actually made a list here of all the vehicles that I've owned, and I've tried to remember all of the times I've actually had a breakdown. And what I mean by breakdown is where the car has actually stopped, and I've had to summon help, and or spend lots of time, you know, like a day or more, trying to fix it, or trying to get spare parts or something like that. A catastrophic, what I call a catastrophic breakdown. The vehicle stops and doesn't move for quite a while. And of course, my Range Rover, which was when I bought it, it was a 1972 model, but when I bought it in 1982, was 10 years old and had 42,000 miles on it. It had been used in the UK and South Africa. It had a little bit of rust, but generally ran quite well. But when I bought it, the starter motor was faulty. It had one of those crank handles that came with the vehicle. It had actually one of those steel crank handles that you put through the bumper. And that vehicle I kept a diary of. And of course, if I think about all the breakdowns I've had, the Range Rover was the one that broke down a lot, but it was by no means the only one that actually broke down, catastrophic breakdown. One story I can remember is an oil pump failure. So we were traveling through Botswana, and I remember we were coming south from Francistown, and I had a typical blowout. The old Range Rover tires used to blow out. And I had and minutes before the blowout, I'd actually picked up a hitchhiker, local guy, who said, you know, I need a lift down to Mahalopi, which was about 300 kilometers south. And I said, oh, jump in the back. And 10 kilometers, tire bursts, have to change the tire. He helped. Get back in the car after changing the tire, turn the starter motor, and the oil pressure light stayed on. So I ran the motor a bit, shut it down, restarted it, light came on. Now, it was then a fault-finding process. Okay, could it be the little sender unit in the side of the oil pump? Just above the oil pump, there's a little electrical sender unit that sends a signal up to the dashboard, and if you don't get a connection there, it'll come on, and you're given a warning that there's no oil pressure. The switch isn't working. So that was one option. The other option was a genuine oil pump failure. Second option was a catastrophic engine failure where the oil pressure, the oil pump was working, but there was just no oil pressure because of catastrophic internal engine problem. But the engine wasn't making strange noises, so that sounded to me unlikely. And the other one was maybe the oil strainer that goes into the sump had cracked through the vibration. We had been driven a lot of very, very corrugated roads. And these were all running through my head. Now, my friend Mark was up ahead. He also had a Range Rover. His was a 1973 model. He was up ahead, and he came back looking for us. We had no radios at the time, and obviously no mobile phones. This would have been in 1986. He came back, and I explained the problem. And his friend Jonty, who's really, really good at vehicle maintenance, vehicle diagnostics, really good. He was the one that suggested maybe the oil strainer had cracked. We should check that first. So we took the sump off at the side of the road. The guy we'd given a lift to was still there. He was still hanging around, dutifully hanging around. And I said to him, look, I'm so sorry. We'll stick around. Okay. And he helped. Helped with the breakdown. Helped trying to fix it. Nothing wrong with the oil strainer after we had taken all the sump oil out, put it into a bucket that we had actually used for washing clothes, put the oil in the bucket, looked very carefully with a torch underneath the vehicle. Nothing seemed to be cracked. Nothing seemed to be wrong. Put it back, replenished the oil. Tried to start the engine, And then Mark said to me, hey, you know something? Before we go further, we've got to change the little sender unit. Oh, of course, we should have done that first. Yeah, let's just swap the sender unit's little electrical switch around. Yeah, I'll put mine in your car and you can test, and I'll put yours in my car and we can test both of them and then, know once and for all that it's not an indicator failure. It is, in fact, an oil pressure issue. And we did that, started the car, light came on. Mark's car, light went out. We knew. The sensor was doing its job. It was telling us that there was no oil pressure. For about 5 hours, we faffed around and couldn't really find the problem and realized that we would have to dismantle the oil pump. It was getting dark, so we decided to tow my car to Mahalapi. And if I remember correctly, it was about 200 kilometers, which we did before it got dark. We arrived at Mahalapi. Our man, who had waited so patiently, got his lift to his destination. And we managed to buy a few things at a store. We were actually leaving the country at the time. We had finished our two-week trip. And decided, okay, well, we're here for the night. Let's dismantle the oil pump, which I did. And I found that the pressure release, there's a sleeve, and the pressure relief valve and the sleeve had actually slipped out, and it was not moving freely. And I think, it's jammed open, so the oil is flowing freely. Would that cause oil? And we went. The next thing, Mark, who's lying underneath the car, says, "Hey, is this supposed to rotate?" We climb under the car, and the whole thing, that's the shaft that goes from the distributor, runs down, it's driven by the camshaft, runs down and drives the oil pump. It was freely rotating. And we removed it, and the Land Rover, and in their wisdom, when they built the engine, had no spline. It was a shrink fit cog on shaft. Nothing to lock it in place, apart from just pushing it on. Well, now it was just rotating. The two things were free. Bad quality manufacture. So at least we had found the problem. So what we did is we took the shaft and scored it very heavily with a chisel. It was very hard metal, much harder than the chisel. So we battled to do this, and we scored it as much as we could. We scored the inside of the cog, the drive cog, as much as we could. And then we smacked it on with a hammer. And we thought, it might just be okay. It might very well run. It's the best we can do right now, given that we can't get a spare part. And we reassembled it, and I started the engine, and what do you know? The light went out. array. By now it was probably, I don't know, midnight? It was very late. Great. Head south. 10 kilometers later, light comes on. And it was just, we can't fix the part. We can't get a new part. Let's tow. 1,200 kilometers-ish home to Johannesburg. And we towed. And we towed. Freezing cold winter's night. And we towed. I think we pulled over at one stage and actually slept in the car for a bit. And we did, I remember, because I remember the following day we arrived at Mark's place and we literally just towed me kind of halfway up the driveway and deciding what to do. And he said, the oil sender light switch, I want mine back, I'll swap it back. So I took mine out of my oil pump and we swapped and I put my one back. And a little voice said to me, start the engine. I started the engine, light went out. His oil sender switch had failed. I said, Mark, start your engine. Started his engine, his light stayed on. We had towed for nothing. I couldn't get a spare part. I drove my Range Rover for 2 weeks around Johannesburg like it that for 2 weeks. No problems. Until I could find, buy a spare part, which I then fitted. So that is the most significant failure of any engine that I've had on any trip that I've done. Right, the next story is also that same Range Rover. And this was just unfortunate. It was catastrophic engine failure, but it was just unfortunate. It wasn't just due to bad design necessarily, maybe a bit. These same friends of mine that were on this trip, we built a boat together. When I left school, they were at university, and for 4 years, the four of us built a yacht. We were all crazy about sailing. And we built, we got a plug for, it was a yacht that had been used as a plug for a mold. And we got this thing and it was in a terrible state. And we rebuilt a yacht and we even built the masts we built the boom, we built all the fittings, we even built a little paraffin pump-up stove. We built everything, just the nozzle we bought. The tank and everything we made ourselves. And this boat was an object of great fun and joy for several years. And the second or third time we launched it with my Range Rover the very first time and a few times after that. But the last time, and the very last time we launched it with my Range Rover, things went a bit wrong. The vehicle was quite deep in the water and we were launching. I remember we were actually launching the boat and I'd pushed it out and we'd taken it off and I pulled the Range Rover up. And the engine started to misfire. And we were deep. The back of the Range Rover was full of water. We were deep. And I remember pulling it out, and the engine was running a bit rough. But the fan had been in the water, so it was, you could hear it, just kind of kicking a bit of water around the engine bay. And I'd never managed to get the distributor to, be waterproof, be water. I mean, it's very, very heavy rain. It would sometimes misfire. I thought nothing of it and put a little rock under the accelerator. So high idle speed while we sorted out the boat to get the engine nice and hot and to evaporate all the water. After a short period of time, I turned around, looked at the Range Rover. It was parked on the beach and underneath it was this pool of grey oil under the engine. Oh, heavens. So I went there and I turned off and I opened the bonnet and the entire engine was covered. The crankcase breather pipe had sprayed this oil all over the engine. The entire thing was just grey oil. What had happened is, and it took me a long time to actually diagnose the problem, and I'm pretty sure that what had happened is the differential, centre differential, your transmission lock was vacuum powered, and so there are air pipes, and basically you just click, it's a little air switch on the dashboard which locks or unlocks the center transmission, and it'd come off. So it was, the engine was sucking not air through the actuator for the differential lock, but fresh air. And when I launched the boat, very, very muddy water straight into the crankcase. And in the muddy water was bits of sand, bits of grit, and it went straight through the oil, jammed the oil filter very, very quickly. The little release valve opened, which is what it's supposed to do. It opened to give the engine oil, but allowed this crud to go straight into the engine bearings. I still have today the white cap, engine cap, bearing cap. It scored through the white metal right down to the copper. That's how bad the scoring was. There wasn't a bearing in the engine that had survived major scoring. But I rebuilt the engine, and I was towed home, this time by a 1956 2A Land Rover, 2 1/4, midwinter. I always did these things in winter. And it was about minus 10 degrees, and I was absolutely bitterly cold in that vehicle. And we just had the park lights on to, you know, save battery, because it was about 2.5 hour drive to the lake where we launched, and I seem to remember the tow took about 5 hours with this Land Rover, top speed probably 60 on the steep downhills, very, very slow and laborious. But I actually rebuilt that engine, and I learned about engines then. That's, I really understood engines, because I remember I built a table for the job, and my same friends helped me whip the engine out, and I dismantled absolutely everything. I re-coked the heads, redid absolutely everything. Just the sub-assembly with the crankcase and the crankshaft was assembled by a racing engine builder in the area who had a fantastic reputation, and I got him to do that sub-assembly. I didn't have the skills to do that well, and I knew it. And after that engine was so sweet. It really pulled beautifully after that. But that was the breakdown that happened as a result of circumstances and as a result of environment. And this tiny little breakdown called a pipe coming off the center transmission caused catastrophic engine failure as a result of the environment in which I was driving. And those two by far are the most significant engine breakdowns that I've had on trips. There have been a few more. Only one that I can think of where I had to abandon the vehicle. That was my Mercedes G-Wagon. And that was because the anti-theft immobilizer was arguing with the Mercedes-Benz's own anti-theft immobilizer. The insurance insisted that I had have one fitted, even though I'd already had one. And the two computers argued with each other and shut the engine down. I had to abandon the vehicle. And apart from that, I can't think of any time that I've actually had a breakdown where I've had to walk away from the vehicle and, where major, major work had to be done to get the vehicle running again. I know for a fact that if I had a Toyota or even any Japanese vehicle, come to think of it, you know, a raw, more reliable vehicle, like for example a Hilux. I mean, they're bulletproof things. They're a little bit dull, yes, but they are bulletproof, as opposed to a Land Rover product, are far from bulletproof, but are full of character and have, you know, the slogan, you know, Land Rover's been turning motorists into mechanics for 49 years or something. It's so true, particularly with those old vehicles, because they just required so much effort, not just to repair when they broke down, but just to keep them running. But that was the fun. I loved it. I loved it. I suppose in some strange way, I wished all these things upon myself, because it was really part of who I was.
I used to like fixing cars, and the one that I had used to break down a lot. I hope you enjoyed my little story. Thank you for watching.
This podcast has been brought to you in association with Forex Overland and BF Goodrich Tires. Producer, Kate White.